First Baptist Church of Redmond, December 26th, 2010. Surviving the most wonderful days of the year.
And we have a special treat today. Barbara's dad is going to be singing for us, and he'll be leading our morning scripture reading today as well.
Who is he in yonder stall, at whose feet the shepherds fall? Who is he in deep distress, fasting in the wilderness? 'Tis the Lord, a wondrous story. 'Tis the Lord, the King of glory. At his feet we humbly fall. Crown him, Lord of all. Who is he the people bless for his words of gentleness? Who is he to whom they bring all the sick and sorrowing? 'Tis the Lord, a wondrous story. 'Tis the Lord, the King of glory. At his feet we humbly fall. Crown him, Lord of all. Who is he that stands and weeps at the grave where Lazarus sleeps? Who is he the gathering throng greet with loud triumphant song? 'Tis the Lord, a wondrous story. 'Tis the Lord, the King of glory. At his feet we humbly fall. Crown him, Lord of all. Lo, at midnight, who is he? Praise in dark Gethsemane. Who is he on yonder tree? Dies in grief and agony. 'Tis the Lord, a wondrous story. 'Tis the Lord, the King of glory. At his feet we humbly fall. Crown him, Lord of all. Who is he that from the grave comes to heal and help and save? Who is he that from his throne rules throughout the world of alone? 'Tis the Lord, a wondrous story. 'Tis the Lord, the King of glory. At his feet we humbly fall. Crown him, Lord of all.
Amen. Thank you very much.
Amen. Thank you. All right, if you'll stand with me in honor of God's Word, we're going to be reading in unison. If you have your Bibles, it's from Luke 24, 25 through 27. It's in the bulletin and also on the screen. So in unison, we will read. Then he said to them, O foolish one and slow of heart, to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Amen. You may be seated.
Thank you very much. I put this service title up because so often it is the most wonderful time of the year, but because we do so many wonderful things. Family, church, special activities, gatherings. We ourselves this afternoon are going up to a family gathering when church is over, and then we're coming back for a youth special holiday activity tonight. So you can be busy at Christmas time. I've heard even some people comment that they feel a little stress at the holiday season. Would that be true of you? Some people do. Some people struggle with these things. And sometimes it's a symptom, not in every case because, well, things are just busy, but sometimes it's an illustration of how things sometimes need to be ordered. Sometimes we need to have some order in our lives because it's very easy to be involved with different things, not always the wrong thing, but sometimes how we do things can be a struggle. The gentleman on the left is Jim Loscalzo. You don't recognize his name, but I would bet you have seen his photographs. For 16 years, he was a photojournalist with U.S. News and World Report. He currently is a freelance photographer who travels the world representing different news agencies. This is a picture in a very difficult neighborhood that he took that was printed in U.S. News and World. He's won some different awards, got some different prizes. He admits that covering assignments in more than 60 countries in those 16 years, being recognized for awards and accolades from his peers, that he has become, as he describes himself, "I have become a travel addict." He wrote a memoir, "Evidence of My Existence." And he says photography was the way that he satisfied his travel addiction. But then he comments also that his addiction has come with a price. His frequent and, he describes himself as, compulsive travels left his wife a stranger to him. While he was in Baghdad covering the U.S. invasion of Iraq, she was heading to the hospital having her second miscarriage. He hated himself for what he felt was desertion, so even when he was given the opportunity in 2004 to cover John Kerry's presidential campaign, he declined. For the first time, he writes, "This time, for the first time, it was so easy to back out. Not a guilty concession, but what I truly wanted. How silly this effort, this stress, 17 years of it," he writes in 2004. "Not time wasted, but time overplayed, trying to inflate a finite ability through sheer force of will." He later adds toward the end of his book what led to his stepping away from his frenetic pace. He writes, "How to Stop Moving, it was about accepting a simple truth. In the world of photojournalism, I would always be a man of minor accomplishments. But in the field of fatherhood, to one little boy at least, I had a chance to become a legend." So often, there are many, many good things that we have a chance to do throughout our lives. And we get the chance to choose what is best. Good, better. Sometimes you have to do those, have to go to work, have to take care of the house, have to fix things that break, have to go to the store, have to fix things that fall over. But sometimes there's a challenge on what to do that is best. Can I tell you something? At the holidays, you've heard me say this in other things. If you're sharing in holiday stress, if you're having family stress, if you're having other kinds of stress, let me just bring a couple things to your attention. And you probably know this already, but I just want to make it plainly clear to you that you need to expect to be interrupted. Have you found the wisdom in that in the past? Expect to be interrupted. You've got plans. You've got things you want to do, things you enjoy, things I normally, this is my schedule. But when special times happen, generally special needs accompany them as well. I just think of Jesus' family. As he was about to be born, they're traveling to Bethlehem. Why? Well, there was that unexpected, to most of the world, occasion to be taxed, to have the census. So they would know how many people are in each region. They would know how much taxation money to expect. That was the reason for the census. So suddenly, with a woman that was great with child, they have to travel. They have to travel to a place where they didn't really, even though they had relatives, they weren't in a spot where they could expect to stay with someone. So they're staying not in the inn, but in the place where the animals get to sleep. Life was interrupted for them, and they had to do things that were unexpected. But since God works in our lives in the good and bad times, we should expect to find God's path during the interruption. In the time of that family, the 2,000 years ago, Mary, Joseph, the birth of that child, Jesus, God's path was plainly worked through the interruption. And for you in these holiday seasons or at other times when there's get-togethers, special events, you have some plans, so often God has something for us or for someone else that involves us, that involves something off agenda, something that wasn't expected, something that was not part of the original plan. But because of how things work out, because of the extra care that was given, because of the need that arose and the way that it was met, because the way the Holy Spirit moved and God's grace flowed through someone, it might have been through you, it might have been to you. So often those off-agenda things are the ones that are most remembered. And then finally, don't always expect everything to be explained, either by a friend, by yourself, or by God. Sometimes you don't know the answers. I've come to agree with that more and more as life goes by. Sometimes things have a solution. Sometimes you have a guess, but lots of times, I don't know. I don't know why that happened. I just have to know, what am I supposed to do? How can I try to do it? What do I do now? The holiday season speaks to us, especially as we think of Christmas and the changes that came to Mary's life, to Joseph's life, their relatives, thinking of Elizabeth and her family. At the holiday season, we need to remember some things. I challenge you to remember God because He remembers us. Micah chapter 5, verse 2. Speaks of a prophecy where this child would be born. God has control of history. During the midst of it, it's hard to see. Are you like me? I've talked to other people and I've told them, how did you know that this was the right decision that you made? And they said at the time, I had no idea. But as I've looked back years later, I could see that that was what God wanted me to do. That is the right choice. I had to make a choice. I made one. And it seems that we were able to discern what God wanted. Years later was the truth detected. So many of the prophecies of Christ about His birth, about His life, as you look at the gospel accounts, these are just the way things went. But God had a plan. And as you see God's plan, even in some ways of the minutiae of Christ's life, where He would be born, where He would live, the interpretation of what it means that He would be called a Nazarene, how His life would end, different prophecies from Psalm 22, Isaiah 52 and 53. All these things were worked out to the letter. During the time with things that just seemed, oh, that's the way it played out. That's just the way it was. But if God tells us something, He's going to bring it to pass. Now, remember that God remembers us. 2 Samuel chapter 7 talks to us about prophecies that God remembered His servant David. David, I remember you and I will make certain that someone from your family, from your line, will be the one who is the great king, a greater king than you, an even greater king than your immediate child, that He will be the one, this coming one, that will be the great, the true, the Messiah. That person was personalized for us in Jesus in His first advent, and we'll actually see it when He comes back to have His kingdom. God gives us a sign that He is with us. The coming of the Christ child, Jesus, demonstrates that God is not only with us because he thinks of us, he's around us, but God came to live with us so that he can understand. We can look at him and think that he has experienced many of the same struggles in life, hungry, thirsty, tired, neglected by a friend, having to suffer and being misunderstood. God is with us. He actually experienced so many of those things. And it's proof that God is not finished with humanity. If you look in the prophecies of the future, considering Daniel chapter 9, God told his servant, his prophet Daniel, that things are going to happen. Be looking forward to the future. One is going to come. He's going to be cut off for his own people. Not for his fault, but for their fault. And by the way, even later, things are going to happen. God is not finished yet. Our best days are still ahead. The coming of Jesus makes us reflect that because he served with us, we also should be people who are like him and serve. When we look at Jesus, Jesus will be wise, just, and righteous as he works to deliver us when we think of salvation, and also as he works in the future. God is wise in his dealings with us. God tells us that Jesus will be God's servant. He didn't have his own agenda or his own plan. He will be doing miraculous, amazing things. He brings comfort to God's people. All of these things, even though they're fulfilled in Jesus, can be shown as examples for us. To be working as a helper, a deliverer, if it will, for other people. To see that the most important thing we can give to someone else is our life under God's control. Because if my life is under God's control, I'm going to be doing the right kinds of things. I'm going to be listening to God. I'm not going to be preoccupied with myself and selfish things. Because if I'm listening to God and God is in a circumstance, if God's help is needed, then perhaps I'll be the one that is there, that is near, that is around, that can be listening to God, and I can be part of God's solution. Jesus sometimes did amazing things. Sometimes we have a chance to do amazing things in the lives of other people. And other people have done amazing things that have been helpful and appreciated for us. We have that chance to be the answer, the helper, the solution for other people. And Isaiah chapter 40, verse 1, that line from Messiah, "Comfort ye," I won't try and sing it for you, "but comfort ye my people, saith your God." One of our great tasks as we are like Jesus is to be like him and, as much as possible, be a comfort bearer. And then to love because he first loved us. When we look at the life of this adult Savior who came to the world, wounded for our transgressions, Isaiah 53:5, bruised for our iniquities, suffering that provides peace and healing, doing nothing to deserve the punishment he's receiving, it was all for us. You know that so often it's very difficult to find love in this world, because if you find love, you find love that's described like this. It's someone who suffers for you, puts themselves out for you, does things for you. They have your best, your interests, your wishes, your good in mind, and they take care of those things at least as much, if not more so, than they take care of themselves. Jesus continued to demonstrate his love while he was here as he was betrayed by a friend, falsely accused, spat upon. Yet the Bible tells us in the minutiae of the information it gives about the life of Jesus Christ, hundreds and hundreds of specific comments about him, bones weren't broken in his death. God thought of us when he sent this tiny one to live among us, to grow up, to obey his parents. Can you imagine Jesus going to Sabbath school and listening to Bible lessons? You might be sitting there today thinking about roast, thinking about football game, thinking about who else is going on. And as we try and look at God's word and keep your interest, sometimes your mind might wander. Imagine Jesus listening to a Bible lesson. What will he learn? Humility, patience, letting someone else do their thing. Because he would have a great understanding about God's wishes. For us, when our lives find interruption, changes in busy seasons. Stop and pray. Pray for courage, wisdom, guidance, help. So often the challenge is just to pray. 1 Thessalonians 5, pray without ceasing. For my mind, that doesn't mean you're always praying. It has the idea that, number one, your mindset is always to be asking God for help. Number two, to be always reflecting, God, what do you want me to do right now? Not, oh no, not, what did you do, and not, why me? But the first words that come out is, God, what do I do next? What should I be doing? James 5:13, you know, God is listening. God is waiting for us to pray. I can't explain much about prayer other than God tells us to do it, and prayer works. Prayer changes the way of the world and the hearts of people. Keep perspective. It's a great challenge we have because put the interruption in the proper perspective. How bad is it that you didn't get to park where you wanted to? How bad is it that you got a red one and not a blue one? How bad is it that, well, people just don't keep up on their hints? Or how bad is it that you've got to wait another few minutes for this person? Or you fill in the blank. Lots of us tend to be catastrophic in our thinking. Oh no, the sky is falling, said Chicken Little. But Matthew 6 talks about seeking God's kingdom, His righteousness, and seeing how putting Him first and then reflecting and watching sees how all these other things will ultimately be added to us. And then trust God. Challenge to trust in so many things. God tells us to trust Him. He is in control. He still has your hairs numbered. The number might change from day to day, but He has your hairs numbered. Nothing can happen to you without God knowing it. The point of saying that is that God knows your need. God is with you in your time of need. And God has either planned for you to find the strength to grow, the patience to tolerate, or He'll give you the wisdom on what to change. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, you know, I like to read his words, his books, died in POW camp in Germany just before the end of the war. His life was on the list of people to be killed before Nazi Germany fell because he participated in the Valkyrie uprising. Wrote that we must be ready to allow ourselves to be interrupted by God. It is a strange fact that Christians and even ministers frequently consider their work so important and urgent that they will allow nothing to disturb them. Sometimes plans change. Sometimes somebody needs that extra five. And so often, that is where God comes in the scene. You got up today, you came to church, you've got a day planned, you've got things going on this week, you have a schedule, you have some family activities. God bless you, and I hope everything goes like you expect. But if it doesn't, so often the greatest test is, how am I going to react? Do I need to realize that this is just a bump in the road and I need to get back on topic? Is God bringing this person to my life because they need my help? They need a little bit of patience? They need a few kind words? Is God redirecting me as He did Mary and Joseph, who were young people planning their lives ahead of them? What will happen? They've met each other, become close to each other, decided that God had planned for them to spend their lives together, and suddenly there was an angel appeared and told them, your lives are going to have a change. It's a change that right now might be uncomfortable, might be awkward. By the way, there's going to be a governmental edict that's going to change what you're going to be doing right now as far as travel goes. But everything about you is going to be now different than you had expected. Things are going to happen beyond your control. And the greatest ministry you're going to have is being patient and doing what you know is right. Because what's going to happen later, God says, is going to be wonderful. God has things for us. He expects us to follow Him and expects us to look around and see, God, what wonderful things are you going to do around me as I honor you. Let's pray for a moment. God, help us, we pray, to be aware of the leading of your Holy Spirit. Help us to be first listening for the Holy Spirit in our own lives as he guides us to do the right things, to pray, to obey, to encourage, to seek your face, to talk about your son to others. Help us to do those first things. And then, God, help us to have discernment on how to deal with others. Help us, as we deal with others at this holiday season, to do it with grace, to do it with peace, and to try and result in joy. All Christmas thoughts, feelings, words, and emotions, God, help us that when we come to a situation, we make it better and not worse. Help us to come in the Spirit of Christ, in whose mighty name we ask, and everyone said,